The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time?
7:33.
Thank you. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 8, 2015, faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Huntington Democrat, the Huntington Review, and the Express Times. In addition, posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, the administrative office, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Jeskowitz, may we please have a roll call?
Mrs. Grant.
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Here.
Mrs. Hand.
Here.
Mr. Malloy.
Here.
Mrs. McHugh.
Here.
Mr. McTiernan.
Present.
Mr. Petuto.
Here.
Mr. Sturgis.
Here.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Here.
Thank you. Mr. McTiernan, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening?
Yes.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Malloy, will you please be the process guardian for this evening's meeting?
Yes.
Thank you. We are going to change the order of a segment of the meeting this evening. I'm going to ask for Dr. Clark to give her report of the superintendent of schools first. But Dr. Clark.
Okay. All right. First, I wanted to the anticipated 2015-16 enrollment report. As of 8/19/15, and we still have registrations coming in the door, parents are still coming in to register students. So we're at 1403 as of 8/19. So we do have a decrease if it stays that way. Let me give you a little update on new teacher orientation. We welcomed 7 new staff members, but that includes long-term subs from Source for Teachers for maternity leaves. We did not hire 7 new staff members this year. The business office was introduced, and we covered topics on payroll, personnel, and purchase orders. Mrs. Goad led the training for us with topics on HIB, the observation system and process, and state requirements. Mrs. Steinheimer taught a session on inclusion and special education. Mr. Jaw covered all things technology with the staff. Laura Jaw taught responsive classroom procedures. The new teachers also attended this year a special workshop by Harry Wong. He's a famous author and educator, and he is great fun as well as very educational. And whenever you take a class with Harry Wong, you leave there excited and filled with ideas for innovative classrooms, and you feel really good about what you're doing in education and how to make your classroom a very welcoming place for students. I would say to you, and I think Mrs. Goad shares the thought that the teachers we brought in for this training were enthusiastic and positive throughout and very attentive. I think they feel that it was a very worthwhile process for us to do. Tomorrow, we will welcome teachers and staff members. The Board of Education is providing a welcome breakfast for the entire staff. So thank you, while you're all here sitting at the table, for taking the time. Mrs. Grant and Mrs. McLaughlin, I know that you have little surprises and goodies and make it fun for everyone. So we thank you for the variety and the generosity. I know that Mrs. Grant will also give a welcome speech. Yes?
Yes.
Yes, a welcome speech. And I will speak on the focus for the school year. I'm not going to share now. It's a surprise. It's always a big surprise. I see teachers smiling in the back who've done this for the last few years with me. And we have little memories. Remember, does anybody remember the memory from last year, what it was? Oh, yes, from the audience, doorknob. Okay, so you'll have to just see what tomorrow's is, all right? We're also going to recognize our teachers of the year and service time from all of our staff members, which is always fun for us to do. We also have Alice Keeler, who is a well-known author, teacher, and expert on Google Classrooms and student engagement. She's going to be giving a keynote address and teaching some workshops, as well as a number of our teachers who have volunteered to teach a menu of classes on integrating technology, making it real, and engaging for students and staff. In fact, Joanne Hinkle and Tim Jua are with Alice Keeler tonight, getting everything ready for the well-planned day. I want to make a point that it's important to note that the goals of the board that you're voting on tonight and the strategic plan are all driving this PD tomorrow, all right? The strategic plan, the goals were put together. I see some people from the community who took part in that. And part of that, if you remember, was a PD, trying to provide PD menus of activities for teachers to choose from. So we do have that this year. There are a number of technology goals within the classroom that are driving this process. And so I wanted to point it out because a strategic plan and board goals are not just a piece of paper. They are living documents that we're utilizing to move the district forward and for our students to achieve more. I'd also like to take a moment to share some information on two new hires that are on our agenda this evening. The first one is Dr. Deb Grief. She could not be here tonight, but you'll meet her soon enough, and I'd like to share a bit of her resume, as she is going to be our interim director of curriculum. She has a BS in elementary education with a minor in Spanish, and she speaks it fluently. And she has her BS from Mansfield State College in Pennsylvania. She has an MA in bilingual bicultural education from Keene and a Doctor of Arts and Letters from Drew University. She has more than 40 years of educational experience at all levels of educational programming and curriculum. She has been a teacher, supervised special education. She's been a principal, an assistant superintendent in charge of curriculum, and a superintendent of schools. Dr. Grief has worked with the New Jersey Department of Education and in Washington with the U.S. Department of Education. She is an adjunct faculty member of Centenary College and Seton Hall. And I am also proud to say she was my mentor when I first became an administrator. And I'm pretty excited that she's going to be working here with us in Clinton Township. She's an exceptional leader and an educator that we all can be proud to say is working here in our schools. We also have another new administrator who is here tonight, and we welcome him to the district. We had over 100 applicants for the position of vice principal at Round Valley School. Of those 100 applicants, believe me, the administrators went through every one of those resumes, every single one in detail. We brought about 12 of them in for a small team interview, and then we narrowed it down to three who we brought to a large committee interview comprised of administrators, teachers, a parent, and a board member. And our recommended candidate is Thomas Connolly. Mr. Connolly comes to us from Lebanon Township and has taught a variety of grades from primary to secondary school. His most recent experiences are as a teacher of the deaf and a response to intervention teacher. And those experiences will help us provide support for our students at risk and bring a wealth of real-life experience to leading our intervention team. Tom is experienced with writing action plans for students at risk, and having been an inclusion fourth grade teacher, knows the support our teachers and staff need as well. He has already been at Round Valley working to make the first days a success and was part of the bus driver's presentation. And we welcome him to the leadership team. I know that you're all going to love him as much as we already do. So, Mr. Connolly, thank you for being here tonight. Would you just stand up and show your face to wave at everybody? There's some teachers in the back.
Look forward to meeting everyone at some point. And really, just looking forward to this opportunity. And the academic excellence of the township. I'm looking forward to continuing my career here and just happy to be here. So, thank you.
Welcome.
Okay. I'm going to stop at the HIB. Did you want to go back to your part before we do an HIB presentation?
No, why don't we just continue with your part, do the HIB.
Okay.
All
right, and then we're going to go into executive session?
Then we'll go into executive session.
All right. Okay, so we'll change in plans. Mrs. Goad.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Just get started here. Well, good evening, everyone, board members, folks in the audience tonight. I am here this evening to speak to you about the required self-assessment that we do for the harassment, intimidation, bullying legislation within our schools, and to share what we intend to report to the state by September 30th. I act as the district's anti-bullying coordinator, so I do have the good fortune of being able to work closely with our school counselors, who also act as our anti-bullying specialists. And I work together with our anti-bullying specialists and all of our school safety teams to compile this information. So just a little bit of background, and this actually is the same as it was last year. The self-assessment is required by the Commissioner of Education as an effort to grade public schools and districts' efforts to implement the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act. Part of the requirement is that each school, through the school safety team, evaluates the implementation of the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights from last July 1st, 2014, through June 30th, 2015, using the self-assessment. And again, the self-assessment is the same as it was last year. There were no changes this year, which was very exciting, I thought. The self-assessment has 8 core elements that addresses all of the requirements within the school district. And what we do is the school safety team, and I know there was a question asked about this last year, so I actually brought a sample. The state provides us with a rubric. It's quite a lengthy rubric that we on the school safety teams go through. And for each of the indicators, which I'll go over in a moment, they have 4 ratings. Does not meet requirements, partially meets requirements, meets all requirements, or exceeds the requirements, and they have a score of 0 through 3. So for each of the indicators, you can get up to 3 points based upon how you rate yourself on the rubric. And it's really, it's very much based in evidence. you don't just kind of pick where you think you fall. They actually give you examples and criteria that you have to meet, and then you have to have that evidence. So for example, the first area says that the school annually established HIV programs, approaches, or other initiatives. And in order to exceed the requirements, which we did at Round Valley this year, we have all the documentation that proves the school calendar. You could use meeting minutes, meeting sign-in sheets, agendas. You can use scope and sequence for the curriculum, lesson plans, action plans, or purchase orders. So for each of the areas, you score yourself based upon how well you meet the criteria that they establish. So the different areas, actually I'll go to that in just a moment. So what we have to do to meet the requirements of the legislation, we did complete the self-assessments with the school safety teams in June. I've reviewed the information with Dr. Clark, and we'll be working together after presenting tonight to submit the information to the Department of Education. That's due by by September 30th. The Department of Ed will then review our data. They create and issue school and district grade reports. And at this point, they say they'll be available at some point during the 15-16 school year. At which point then we'll review the grades again. Historically, the grades we haven't been asked to make any changes. They've been the same as we've reported. So we'll be sharing them out again. And then they have the requirement to be posted on our district website within 10 days of receipt. So we did meet all of those requirements for last year, and we anticipate doing the same again this year. So the areas that we are graded upon, or that we rate ourselves upon and then submit the information. The first element is our HIV programs, our approaches, and other initiatives. The second element is training on board-approved HIV policy. The third is staff instruction and training programs. The fourth is curriculum and instruction on HIV and related information and skills. Element five is HIV personnel. Six is school-level HIV incident reporting procedures. Seven is our investigation procedure. And eight is our HIV reporting. So I'll just briefly share with you the different scores for each school. There was a total of 78 points possible. And again, our schools all did very well. We met or exceeded all of the areas. 78 is the highest possible score. And so we've ranged from 73 up to 77 within our four different schools. There has been a little bit of fluctuation in each school based from last year, but minor. And that depends on either different approaches that are being utilized, different curricular initiatives within the schools, and some different approaches that we've taken. But overall, our district score is a 75 out of 78. Last year, we scored a 74.5 out of 78, so we've gone up a half a point. So in reviewing the data, in talking with our school safety teams and also with our administrators, some of the areas that we feel that we have done very well with are communication and documentation by the school safety team. Once again, we exceed the requirements. We tend to meet about monthly or bi-monthly because in all of our schools, we really do use that as a core of how we approach not only HIV, but also social and emotional growth. And student learning in areas of supporting each other and friendship. So that's something that our district does very well. Again, we met or exceeded the requirements in all eight areas of reporting. We've continued to make changes to our programs and enhance based upon continuous reflection. And we spent a lot of time this year trying to streamline the reporting process. It is a very lengthy process. The paperwork that we had to complete for the self-assessment, this is actually pretty comparable to what the HIV report, each individual report looks like when we're done with it too. So we spent some time this year researching, talking with other school districts, and interviewing companies to try to find an online reporting system, and we are moving towards using Hibster for next year after a lot of research. Some of our recommendations, Hibster will help us to continue to refine our reporting procedures. It'll streamline the use of paperwork, conveying information from the schools to me as the anti-bullying coordinator, and then to Dr. Clark, and ultimately to the board. So that's something that we'd like to continue to learn about. We actually have a training scheduled early in September. We're going to continue to streamline our reporting procedures. And again, looking at our data, something else that we really saw that we were we met all the requirements, but an area we can continue to grow in is enhancing some training opportunities. So we will be doing a training actually at an upcoming board meeting. We'll have some training for parents. We'll do some additional trainings in our schools for staff, for teacher assistants, for faculty, and also with our students. And we'd also like to expand the use of our surveys as we're becoming more proficient with using the Google tools. We did expand to some parent surveying last year, which the information will be very helpful in determining when to offer our trainings this year. And we're also planning to use both the Google Forms, but also Hibster as well to further analyze trends and data to continue to enhance our schools. So that's the end of my presentation. Are there any questions I can answer? Mr. Millay?
Sorry, I have to ask the boring question, but is there any cost associated with migrating to Hibster?
There is a cost, but it is something that was incorporated in last year's budgeting process.
Great.
Sure.
I think it's commendable that we're meeting all the reporting requirements, but it always leaves me with a question, is that how do we know that throughout the country, not just here, how do we know that HIV in the reporting process is having a positive impact on kids? Because it's all about kids.
Absolutely.
And each time I look at this, it seems that if I ask the question, which I'm asking, is how long does it take on each investigation? That we're spending a lot of time in investigations. We're finding that most of the reports end up not being cases of HIV. So I guess my multiple question here, and I apologize for that, is one, how do we know that there is a positive impact when all is said and done? And I ignore the state reports. And how can we get to where we spend administratively less time on the report and investigation process?
Excellent questions. To the first question, how do we know? You know, we've always said in Clinton Township that we're very fortunate. You know, we welcome our new staff members, and always the first thing we say is, what a great place this is to be, not only to work, but also for our families and for our students. The reporting process itself is a requirement that we have from the state. To be very honest, you know, I don't know that having this reporting process has necessarily helped us to help kids. However, we do make sure that it does not take time away. So the upsides to it are that we do get to spend some further in-depth time with children for whom there is a problem. And typically, even if it's not determined to be a bullying situation, there's something there that can benefit from some additional adult interaction, coordination, supervision. So that's the plus side that we do take out of it. We have seen a decrease in the numbers of not only investigations, but also founded incidents, and I would like to attribute that to the supports that are in place in our schools. I think the plus side is the enhanced attention to the subject matter. It has allowed us to enhance our social and emotional curriculum, some of the programs that we utilize in conveying that information to kids. So this is a requirement that we have. Currently, with the New Jersey legislation, our district's interpretation is that we will investigate any incident that's reported. There is no discretion that's allowed for a principal to say, even though you said it's bullying, I don't really think it's bullying. You know, we do not have that discretion. And so we do go forward and investigate any situation. It is a lot of paperwork, but as I said, we do focus on the upside of that. It's the interaction, it's the supports that we provide to our students. So I don't have the concern that it's taking away at this point. And there was a second part to your question. Can you remind me?
Let me ask you another one.
Okay.
In looking at all of the data sets, is there any analysis on data source generation as far as the complaints? Is it coming more from kids, parents, teachers, school aides? Yeah, and really the genesis of the question is there a trend or a source of data that we should be paying more attention to educate those individuals generating the source?
That's a great question. And just from an initial perusal of the data, there are some additional trainings that are required. We're doing some more parent trainings. And I think, too, I don't have an exact answer to your question. I think the HIBSTER will actually help us, the HIBSTER program will help us in further analyzing and further pinpointing, because a lot of it does come back down to the training. And I think it also varies per school. A lot of times, especially I can speak specifically to Spruce Run, you know, we will often have children just misusing the term and not truly understanding what it means. So that's education that we can provide to the students as well. In the upper grade levels, there may be other sources of reporting, and all of that information will be utilized in determining how to proceed. Just as Dr. Clark said, the strategic plan data was kind of guiding our professional development, so will its further data that we receive next year or throughout the course of this year guide how we'll not only respond to situations but also work to prevent them in the first place. So,
I have a question, Alyssa. The processes you guys have in place, once someone comes forward, right, outstanding, treated quickly, appropriately, how many incidents is it possible that aren't coming to you? And are there mechanisms that you're thinking of, right,
Absolutely.
To get more children to tell you about it, that things aren't
Yes.
being uncovered so that maybe we can reduce some of what's happening?
Yes, that's actually one of the things that we talk about in the training with the new staff, and I'll be doing again with the teacher assistants tomorrow. Just because you don't know about something doesn't mean that it's not happening. And so that's all a part of what we look at in trying to make sure that we're having as many resources available for our students and folks that they're comfortable talking to, whether it be a staff member, whether it be a friend. We're teaching children how to be what's called an upstander and not to speak up for the rights of themselves and for their friends and not just sit back and watch something happen. So yes, we look at all of that as well.
I think that's also part of HIBSTER. The online reporting, so
yes.
that students, families who feel uncomfortable making a phone call, talking to someone in person, might be more comfortable reporting it in an online venue.
Absolutely. And that is a component of HIBSTER, as Dr. Clark said. So that's great.
And I know when you folks were first reporting out to us this HIV process when it first came from the state, there were so many things that you didn't know what you were supposed to do and how it was to be handled. And one of the questions I remember a board member asking was, when you're finding that the children are doing specific things repeatedly, not the same children, you were collecting data on how you would handle that and treat it and make it more consistent. Have you been able to do some of that over the last couple of years?
We have. And no one situation is the same, and it's always dependent upon the variety of factors, but we do have our, both through our policy and through our experiences, you know, some levels or kind of layers of responses that we can take and different resources that we can draw upon to support students.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mrs. Gill?
Could you just provide a little bit of a history for those of us who don't have any familiarity with HIBSTER, whether
Sure.
it's specific to the state of New Jersey? Is it specifically an administrative program for online reporting?
Right. It's we actually looked very closely at two different companies. HIBSTER is the one that's been around longer. They do work in some other schools within the district, one of which is North Hunter and Voorhees, which was part of the reason that we did look more closely, not more closely, we looked at both of them, but it kind of swayed us towards that one. It has online reporting, an opportunity for families to be able to report online. It also, as I just said, streamlines the process within the district for tracking, making sure we're adhering to timeframes. Another big piece of it is that it will, as to Mr. McTannen's question, just that time factor and the amount of work that's put into creating and generating the reports, it streamlines a lot of that. It also helps us with our reporting to the state. We need to report the grades at the end of the year, but we also have two reporting periods in January and in June where we need to report out our cases, the numbers of investigations, and that helps with all of that. So it'll take, rather than me, I'm the one that does that now, you know, taking 2 days to compile all that data, it'll already be in the system and can easily be reported. So it's a combination of supports, both administratively within our district, but also brings in the component of having the ability to report anonymously online and for families as well. So.
Is it specific to New Jersey?
You know what, I don't recall that. I'd have to check on that. Judy, did you want to say something?
I was just saying that they have a lot of resources
Yep. Additional training opportunities as well, so.
Any other questions, Kevin?
I saw an action item that we were providing training to the MASHA staff, the HIV training. Do we also train the bus drivers, or how are they?
You know, that's a question that I am looking into, and I'll speak with Debbie Krupp when she's back as well. But we're required to train all contracted service providers, so we do work to make sure that we've got everyone trained that we need to.
But trained by whom?
By the bus company.
Just hipsters in Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, here in New Jersey.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Cool.
Huh?
Are there other questions?
One more.
Any other questions, John?
With Hipster, are you going to be loading some of your historical data into the system,
you know,
or is it a flash cutover with new data?
That's a great question. I'll have to look into that, too. I'm not sure. We haven't really explored all the features yet. That would be great if we could for comparison purposes.
Great.
I'll ask that question.
Any other questions?
I didn't hear his question.
He asked if we were going to be able to put any historic data into Hipster when we do get it.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. I also wonder if there's times during the year where we can take advantage to remind parents, especially of their resources here. Like, I was thinking when we get the note at the end of the year that says if there's any teacher or students that you don't want with your child, now's the time to tell us. And I wonder if we should just say, by the way, there's resources. Because a lot of the time, that's when it comes out. I don't want them with this person, or they had a bad year with this, but they were hesitant to come forward because maybe they didn't know how to report it. So I don't know if there's times during the year where we could kind of take advantage to remind the parents of what their resources are. Mm-hmm. Instead of having them search on the website,
right.
Maybe they don't even know they can anonymously report it. I think there's some hesitancy there.
Thank you for that suggestion.
Anything else? No? Thank you, Mrs. Goad.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm looking for motion, please, for 16-SU-001.
Motion.
Mr. McTiernan, I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Mrs. Vanderhoff. Any questions for Dr. Clark?
Kevin? Specifically, the 1403 right now, which may go up, what was our final tally on the last day of school earlier this year?
Final tally for?
Student count, I apologize.
Oh, the student
that was unclear.
I want to say for it was like 1460.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Something
1460,
like that.
Somewhere between 1460 and 1480, right?
1460 something.
Okay.
Any other
Thank
questions?
You.
No. Seeing none, then can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. McKiernan.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the comments by the board president. I just have a few comments for this evening. I said this at the last board meeting, I'm going to repeat myself. I can't believe that the summer is gone. And as I speak with my friends and you look on Facebook, that is the common theme of the last few days. It's like, where did the summer go? And it just feels like, for whatever reason, this summer flew by faster than most.
There's another one coming up, sure.
Yes. After, by the way, the Farmer's Almanac has predicted the worst snowfall in years. So get the coffee ready and the computer screens. And boom. But that came out yesterday that Farmer's Almanac said to expect misery for the winter months, a long nasty. So I'm sorry to say that, but I just thought I'd let you know. Tell George, get the coffee ready. But with that said, with the summer gone so quickly, On behalf of the Board of Education, I wanted to say thank you to all of the members of our incredible staff for preparing for yet another school year in what seemed to be a very shortened summer. You know, special thanks out to our maintenance and custodial staff and to Mr. Juskiewicz for the monumental projects that they've done district-wide to make sure our buildings are safe and ready to accept our students. I don't think he's slept, the maintenance folks have slept, the custodians have slept much this summer because so many improvements that are so needed have been worked on and thought through so carefully. So thank you for that. I'd like to also thank our office staff. They have been busy putting routes together for our buses and making sure that we're complying with our new policies and communicating with our parents so we have the least number of hiccups once that alarm clock goes off on the 1st of September. They've been busy registering new students, preparing logistics that are required for our school year to run so smoothly. I'd like to thank all of our administrators for working so hard this summer on scheduling, updating our curriculum, and for putting processes in place to make sure that when our students do step off the bus, everything runs very well for them. I want to thank our teachers. I know our teachers have been preparing all summer to teach their new students. And many of them already begun, and if not completed, setting up their classrooms for the school year. So I want to thank them. Our new teachers have already spent time in the district getting acquainted with our processes, policies, procedures, our curriculum, our administrators, our buildings, our layouts of our buildings. So thanks to them. And tomorrow, as Dr. Clark mentioned earlier, our staff returns, all of our staff, about 300 return, for a two-day professional development to prepare for the school year. And when all of that is done in 2 days, believe it or not, our students will hear that nasty, get up, it's time to go to school, said this phrase from their parents, and they will enter our buildings next Tuesday, September 1st. But on behalf of the Clinton Township Board of Education, we'd all like to thank you for your hard work and dedication to continually make improvements in all aspects critical to providing the best education possible for the children in our community. We're looking forward to working with all of you and support you in your efforts to provide the best possible education for our children. With that said, board members, in front of you are our monthly task lists of things that we've accomplished and are required to accomplish on a monthly basis here in the district, as well as our administrative staff. So everything that's been completed is in blue, and Dr. Clark and I have reviewed next month's already, and we will be working to complete those tasks we're required to complete as a district as well. And lastly, on my comments tonight, I just want to bring to everybody's attention that we have, oddly enough, two executive sessions planned for tonight's meeting. Normally, we just have one. We're going to have two this evening. The first one will be right after my comments. We're going to spend about 20 minutes reviewing superintendent's merit goals for 2014-15. We come out, we'll run a regular meeting with our committee reports, and then the second executive session will occur as normal towards the end of the meeting after all our committee reports have been completed, and we'll discuss matters related to our negotiations with the Clinton Township Teachers Association. So with that said, I would like to ask Mr. Juskiewicz to please read our executive session statement so we can go into our first executive session.
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act NJSA 10:4-6 et sec requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion, or disciplining of any specific prospective public officer or employee or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could adversely be affected, request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting. Subject to the balancing the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights under South Jersey Publishing Company versus New Jersey Expressway Authority, 124 NJ 478, the employees and nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is a discussion of the superintendent's merit goals for the 14-15 school year. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 20 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business, now therefore be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Juskiewicz. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Second.
Rachel and Dan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're in executive session. We'll be back. Thank you.
That doesn't matter.
I'm going to review the process.
All right.
What we talked about before. Somebody's saying no. I'm looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Second, Dan. Maria McKee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Abstentions? Meeting's been reconvened. It's fine.
8:27.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I'm going to... I'm going to move on to our next section of the meeting, our public comments section on agenda items only. So I'd like to open the floor. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comments section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This too is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they'll be answered at the conclusion of the public comments section. To the extent any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent as appropriate. No participant may speak more than twice on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Would anyone like to address the board this evening?
We're now Reckon, 42 Valley Crest. It's going to be super quick. Rennell Reckon, 42 Valley Crest Road. Super quick, I just want to say, compared to last year, I got 3 emails about bus routes, all 3 correct, and I hope it goes for the whole school district.
That's good to hear.
On that note, would anyone else like to address the board? No? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to open the floor to our first recognition of the public. This section will be for comments made by the public on school-related matters only. It's not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will once again make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has immediate answer to a question or questions, they'll be answered at the conclusion of this comments section. To the extent any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools as appropriate. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please step up to the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Would anyone like to address the board? Okay, thank you. I'd like to then move on to the report of our Business Administrator Board Secretary, Mr. Jeskowitz. Mr. Jeskowitz, sir.
The September 28th regular meeting will have a start time of 7 p.m. to accommodate HIV training. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided on July 15th, 2015. That concludes my report.
Thank you, sir. I'm looking for a motion, please, on 16-BA-002 to 16-BA-005.
Motion.
Mr. McTiernan, a second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Hand. Any questions for Mr. Jeskowitz, please? Seeing none, then may I have a roll call?
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
I need to abstain on BA-002 and yes to the others.
Mr. Malloy?
Abstain, 002, yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Abstain to 002, yes to the others.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
I need to abstain on 16BA-002, but on the executive session meeting only notes, and yes to the rest.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to move on to the reports of our committees. Our first committee tonight is our Facilities and Finance Committee. Mr. John Petuto is the chair of that committee. Mr. Petuto, can you give your committee's report, please?
Certainly. First, I want to make sure that everybody has the addendum to our packet tonight, which includes action item 16FFO59. I'll touch upon that one in a moment. The FNF committee met last Monday night, and we arrived at some 23 action items for tonight. They range from action item 16FF036 through FF058. Most of them are your typical action items, including the payment of bills and the request for travel for the board and some of the employees. We have a few items related to contract approval with the Summit Speech School for some of their services. That's actually under action items 038 through 040. Action item 042 is actually related to an increase to our 2015-16 budget in the amount of $671,000. Those funds are being appropriated from our capital reserve account, and the funds are being used largely for various site work. Action items 047 and 048, as well as 052 and 053, all relate to asphalt work being done at both Round Valley School and Patrick McGeeran. Those action items relate to change orders and payments for services. We have two Tewksbury students attending CTSD schools for autistic programs. Those fall under action items 050 and 051. And then getting back to the final action item, 16FF059, which was the addendum, that relates to the refinancing of some school boards, school bonds that we have. The bonds are in the amount of just shy of $8.7 million that are going through some refinancing. And with that, I'd like to put forward a motion for the approval of action item 16FF036 through 16FF059.
Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Second, Mrs. Vanderhoff. Any questions for Mr. Petuto, please?
I don't have a question, I have a comment. I think it's pretty important to note for public consumption and the rest of the board consumption that a lot of work and a lot of discussion has gone on in regards to the facilities portion of the facilities and finance. As a result of that, many sites within the different schools that we have were determined to have, well, safety risk factors. The majority of those safety risk factors that we've been able to identify for curbing, sidewalks, asphalt, drainage, et cetera, drainage from the perspective of freezing and the potential for injury during the winter months, are currently being addressed and fixed. And ideally, I think, thanks to Anthony's work, that all of those items should be fixed, should be ready, and the school should be in much better condition for opening a school. And I would just think we should point out and thank Mr. Jeskowitz for the hard work that he's done to coordinate all of those activities and make that work.
And I'd like to add to Mr. McTiernan's comments. For so long, the Board of Education has put money towards the classroom, and rightfully so, right? That's where we needed to focus. We're still focusing on the classroom, but there comes a point in time, as Mr. Juskowitz has educated us very well, that if we don't start taking care of our facilities and our buildings now, where the cost is here, 2 years from now, our costs will be accelerated and be paying more for things to be fixed if we don't do the proper maintenance now. So he's had his work boots on almost every day he's entered the office, identifying things that were very very precedent and very apparent to just the eye that need to be fixed to make sure that our kids enter buildings that are safe and our staff is safe as well.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments or questions, please? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, Mr. Juskowitz?
Mr. Pituto?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
I need to abstain on FF036, 043, and 049. Yes to everything else.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
I need to abstain from FF049. Yes to everything else.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to our Personnel Negotiations Committee, Mr. Dan McTiernan is chair of that committee. Mr. McTiernan, your report, sir?
Yes, going to put forth 30 items for the board's review and approval would be 16-PN-026 through 16-PN-055. These are the items that typically take place during any given month, and they are why we pay administrators money. And that is every time that you see a resignation, and some of the resignations that we have are commons, lunch aides, et cetera, or something that is a highly floating position. It generates a lot of work for the administrators, which is the recruiting of, the assessment of, and selection of individuals to then replace those individuals. So we have 30 items that, for the most part, consist of that. Additionally, we have some leaves of absence. That also is additional work in getting the right people in place that continue that person's work effort within the classroom, typically, until the person returns from that leave. A couple of these items I'd like to highlight for board and public identification. For example, I'd like the president to talk to us a little bit about 16-PN-026 and 16-PN-027, which is what we had an executive session about just a few minutes ago.
Okay, thank you. When Governor Christie instituted a salary cap for all superintendents here in the state of New Jersey, he also instituted a structure for merit pay for superintendents who work within the state of New Jersey as well. He wanted to focus superintendents in two specific areas, that being physically responsible and towards student achievement. He said that superintendents could have two qualitative goals and up to three quantitative goals. These are all non-pensionable awards. So this past year, 2014-15, Dr. Clark had established two qualitative and one quantitative merit goal that the Board of Education agreed with. She has met two of those three. The first one was a quantitative goal where she improved student achievement in language arts literacy. And the second one was a qualitative goal which created a series of very informative, very helpful parent universities for those parents within our community. So we will vote tonight on her achievement of the merit goals for this past year, and for an award commensurate with her achieving those two specific goals.
Also like to draw the public and the board's attention to action item 16-PN-031 and go over just a little bit of the process that got us to the point where Dr. Clark eloquently gave us an announcement as to the selection and make sure that we understand what happens when an individual comes for a leadership position within Clinton Township School District. Over 100 people, as Dr. Clark mentioned, did apply for the position, and this is where we moved our existing vice principal. I always want to say vice president, but our vice principal from one position to a very critical leadership position within the district, and we then looked for a very talented individual to come in and replace that talented person in this critical position. But 100 people applied for that. That takes a lot of time to go through all of the different applicants that come through, set up your early decision cycle, and then go through another 20. Did you interview, Dr. Clark?
12 we interviewed in person.
12 were interviewed in person. And then a final three qualified people came in for a face-to-face interval. Now, why do I characterize it in such a manner? Because each individual, when applying for a position and called in for an interview, expects to come into an interview, walk into an office, and deal with the person on the other side of the desk. All that is not our process. Our process is to come up with a gang of 400 people and have them sit in a room and have our poor candidate walk in unprepared to see all of these people who will then ask a question in random order with no identifiable process whatsoever and keep the person just a little bit on their toes. So we did have one gentleman come through that process successfully.
We do tell them it's going to be a committee interview.
There's a difference between a committee interview and 400 people interviewing. Would that be a fair statement? So we keep them a little bit on their toes. I share that with you is that the process that an individual goes through in a leadership position in the Clinton Township School District is not an easy one. It is a little bit of stress for anyone that comes in to see that many people on the other side of the table. We did have in there a board member. I was present there. We had a parent. We had two administrators, principals. We also had two teachers, a parent, and then we had the superintendent of schools all interviewing the three candidates that came in. And we were, I'm very pleased that we successfully selected and he successfully accepted the position that we're about to approve, Mr. Thomas Connolly. So with that, I'd like to put forward for board approval is action item 16-PN-026 through 16-PN-055.
Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Any questions for Mr. McTiernan this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to our final committee report this evening, our policy and curriculum. Mrs. McLaughlin is the chair of that particular committee. Mrs. McLaughlin, can you give your report, please?
Surely. My committee met on August 10th for a very brief, considering our past history, meeting. We had the opportunity to meet the new interim director of curriculum, which we were all very impressed with, and we worked on some policies. So tonight before you, there are four action items. Action items 5 and 6 refer to second readings of policies and regulations that have previously been discussed. So I'm going to move on. I'm going to skip 7 for a minute and move on to 8. 8, you will see, are the district and board goals for the 2015, it should say 16 school year. It happens to say 19 on here. So can we make that correction? The district and board goals are comes directly from our strategic plan that both the staff and community and the board participated in earlier this year. I'm going to just read them to you. The board district goals for this year, the Clinton Township School District students and staff will engage with an academically flexible and balanced curriculum in a supportive environment. Technology will be an integral part of a Clinton Township School District education. To strengthen communications with home, school, and community through responsive partnerships, develop and deliver an annual needs-based budget that addresses the financial and facilities requirements of the district while remaining fiscally responsible to the taxpayers. I'm going to go back to 7, which probably may be the happiest news of the night. But before you have a calendar that says at the bottom with asterisks, please remember to check the website for updates to calendar during the school year. I'm actually going to give you an update prior to the school year. And I'm going to deliver some happy news that when our calendar went before the Hunterdon County Superintendent, we miscalculated. And school is not going to be ending on June 16th. It's actually going to be ending on June 15th. Yes. So, with that being said, I also was going to give you a percentage on the amount of time that the Farmer's Almanac is incorrect. And I'm going to say that hopefully we won't be using any of the snow days that we built into the calendar. But they didn't have a percentage because sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. With that being said, I'm going to put forth action items 16PC005 through PC008.
Thank you. Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Thank you. Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin and her weather predictions, please?
I would just like to say that
Wait, you can't talk yet.
Over 10 years of being a superintendent, only once have I not used snow days. It's happened once.
Where's the wood?
And they did give a prediction on how correct they've been, Mrs. McLaughlin, over the last 3 years.
No. Couldn't find that information.
Okay. So, yeah, for a second. Okay. Any other questions for Mrs. McLaughlin? Now seeing none, can we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes on 568 and no on 007.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. That completes our committee reports for this evening. We have two district ad hoc committees, one being our website committee. Ms. Petuto is the chair of that committee. Mr. Petuto, do you have a report on your committee, sir?
Actually, our committee is going to be meeting again on September 3rd, which I believe is a Thursday. We'll be reviewing the presentation that we're preparing for the board and for Dr. Clark, and we expect to finish it that night so that afterwards I'll be able to arrange for a day to present it to the board.
Thank you. Moving on to our next ad hoc committee, the feasibility of closing the school. We did not meet in August. We will meet on September 2nd and have
September 24th is the ad hoc.
Oh, sorry, September 24th.
Confused it.
I just want to get it done. September 24th, I apologize, and we'll have a report for you right after we meet on the 24th. So now we're going to move on to the next bit of business, our old business. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask any questions about old business of the board on school-related matters only. It's not a time to make personal statements, rather it's a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics relative to the business of the board. During this segment, many of our board members have outside responsibilities. For example, Ms. McTiernan is the liaison to our town council. And so each of our board members who have outside responsibilities to represent our board in other committees or groups come back during old business and report back to the board to keep us abreast of what's going on that may or may not impact decisions that we do. So tonight I'd like to start off like we normally do with Mr. McTiernan, who is the liaison to our town council.
Council met on August the 12th, and council has been very busy, even though they're meeting once a month rather than normally the two times a month they would do in non-summer hours. They had a lot of agenda items and got a lot of things done. One of the things that's been approved is that the Clinton Township is conforming with the Highlands Council. That will have a significant impact in regards to COA and COA events moving forward. That doesn't have anything to do with when a shovel will actually be put in the ground or when a hammer will hit a nail, but that work has been approved and moving forward. Sites still need to be finalized and selected. One of those sites was approved, but again, when does the shovel hit the ground? When's a hammer hit a nail? And that is in Annandale, is there will be some construction taking place there. One of the challenges that exists is for council to find an appropriate developer to work on the properties that have been approved for redevelopment. So in that regard, a lot has taken place there. A lot is continuing to go on. They did announce also that the YMCA has applied to the planning board to increase parking or provide parking of approximately 200 to 250 spaces in a commuter lot adjacent to the YMC facility on Highway 22 on the westbound side. So they have a land out there that they can use. When that will happen probably is 2, maybe 3 years away. Again, shovel hits ground, asphalt hits parking spots are lined up, but that is coming down the road also. One thing, and I don't know the dates, or actually I didn't write down the dates, but be aware that JCP&L has a helicopter that's going to be flying very low around Clinton Township, and what they're doing is checking power lines. That may have occurred. I didn't write down
today.
The dates. I apologize for that.
It happened today.
Today.
I saw him today.
That today?
Yeah.
And so if you see that, don't be concerned. So that would be my updates for council at this time.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. McLaughlin is our representative for the Harnett County Board of Education. Mrs. McLaughlin has...
We have not had a summer meeting. We meet again in September.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sturgis is our liaison to ESC's board. Any meetings, Mr. Sturgis?
The ESC met in June. I reported in July. They don't meet again until September.
Okay, thank you. Recently, I started attending the North Hunterdon Voorhees School Board meetings. I felt it was very important that they are making decisions and having discussions that may impact what we do or don't do here. So I felt that it's very important that I start attending their meetings and bringing back information here to our Board of Education. Last week, the North Hunter and Voorhees Board met on Tuesday night, and they voted to approve a 15-year, $7.324335 million referendum to be put in front of the taxpayers in the November election. The referendum includes the following: at Voorhees High School, the installation of a new artificial turf field to replace an existing grass field, replacement of visitors' bleachers, and the addition of an ADA-compliant ramp to home bleachers. At North Hunterdon High School, this referendum includes an interior and exterior renovations to their field house, replacement of visitors and band bleachers, the replacement of tennis courts bleachers, the installation of new energy-efficient HVAC systems for social studies and world language wing. The referendum also includes for both schools renovations to the library to transform it into a multimedia interactive session center for its students. This is an all-or-nothing referendum, so when it gets put out to members of the public, if it does not pass, then none of these items get approved. There is some grant money by the state that could help subsidize some of the expenditures relative to these projects. So that was one important item I thought I would bring to the board, to all of you. That's something that they've proposed. Of particular interest at this meeting was also the approval of an interim superintendent for the district until they identify and approve a permanent superintendent of schools for the North Hunter and Voorhees School District. The interesting part of this approval process is that the Board of Education went into executive session to discuss personnel issues. They came out and voted on a personnel agenda to which the public was not privy to that agenda. So at the meeting, you didn't know that they had approved the hiring of this gentleman and who he was and his background. He was not there and not introduced. And it wasn't until the following day when Dr. Clark got an email from the high school did we know who the gentleman was that would take over until they find a permanent superintendent. So those were the two most pertinent items that were discussed during their particular meeting. Any questions?
I have a question. So did they discuss any type of tax impact with a referendum that large, particularly on our district?
They made no mention on our district. They did say that for Bethlehem Township. I think what they said, it was odd because there were no handouts for the public on this relative tax impact and things like that. But they said it was $35 per $100,000 for Bethlehem Township, but they did not go through all the sending districts and the different townships and their impact. At least not verbally. Maybe the board received that information, but people in the public were not privy to that information. Any other questions? Ken?
New matter, old business.
Yeah.
Okay. A few months ago at a board meeting, we talked about NJS tests and opting out and federal grant monies received and the powers that be in Trenton reminding, gently or not so gently as the case may be, that failure to receive a certain level of achievement relative to our percentage of the total student body for NJS could result, according to Trenton, in some negative impact to federal grant monies received. My question at that time was for you, Dr. Clark, you, Mr. Jeskowitz, and our council to determine what power, if any, the state had on applicability of federal money. I'm just wondering if there's been any movement to that.
I'm not aware of anything new on that, but I haven't looked at that recently.
If we can just make sure that's sort of, everybody, obviously you've got the much more important immediate goal of making sure that the schools are ready for the students and the staff, but I just, it's a topic I don't want to see go by the wayside.
It seems to have kind of quieted down and doesn't seem to be on the table lately.
Okay, but again, I just, it seems to me, it's hard for me to fathom how the state can direct whether or not this district is eligible for federal money. And I'd like to see that question answered.
I think everybody would.
Yeah.
Any other old business?
More old business. Current business, old business. We got new calendars, and if you look on the calendar, it was about this time a year ago, we had a lot of discussion in regards to Jewish holidays. We also received a lot of emails from people in the community asking us to do different things, awareness, et cetera. And looking at the calendar is Rosh Hashanah is on Monday, September 14th. Yom Kippur is on Wednesday, September the 23rd, which is the day off, but Rosh Hashanah is not. I wonder if we could do something to remind the teachers in the school district that there are individuals in the district honoring that holiday or following that holiday that would take the day off, and remind them about, you know, what can they do in regards to homework assignments, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Also interesting in this time, and I might be off on my date because this is memory, I believe also a very significant figure associated with the Holocaust passed away, I think, on September the 20th or the 21st. I think that the 20th was Simon Wiesenthal. Might be something we could mention in there too.
Yep.
So that, I mean, that's a historical, significant historical figure.
Thank you. Any other business the board would like to bring up at this time? No? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to move on to the second recognition of the public. I'd like to open the floor to our second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We'll follow the same outline as detailed in the first public comment section on agenda items only. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 15 minutes. Anyone like to address the board? Okay. Moving on to our second executive session of the evening. Mr. Jeskowitz, can you please read that happy statement one more time?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act NJSA 10:4-6 SEC requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12B sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12B to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed or inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association and the Clinton Township Board of Education. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, for be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into the executive session for only the above stated reasons. Being further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Duskowitz. I'm looking for a motion, please, to enter into our second executive session in the evening.
Motion.
Second. Mr. McHugh and Mr. McTiernan, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now in executive session. Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting?
Motion.
Dan? Second?
Second.
Kevin? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now back in session. I'm now looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
Dan? Second?
Second.
Gina? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned. Enjoy the last week of your summer, folks. Thanks.